Last we heard it, at least as of Friday night, Good Friday, it didn't look so good. It looked pretty dark. Seen from a human viewpoint, we would probably say that all was lost. There was no hope in the disciples. There was no hope of those who loved Jesus and followed him. It would seem that the plan of God must have failed. Those 40 hours or so between Jesus taking his last breath and his resurrection have to be some of the darkest hours of judgment the world has ever seen. The darkest hours of sadness, the darkest questioning of those that thought they understood what Jesus was going to do. But in a flash of God's almighty power, life came back into the lifeless body of Jesus, and he rose from the dead. And today we celebrate that Friday is not the end of the story. I want to say to you as I begin this message today that the end of the story oftentimes seems very dark. We often feel like there's things going on in our lives and we wonder, will anything good come from it? Sometimes we face problems and difficulties and it just seems so dark and so hopeless about the future. Well, I want to ask you this morning to consider for a few minutes the power of the resurrection of Jesus and what it says to your life and to mine. I want you to think about for a few minutes today, what does it change? What does the reality of the resurrection of Jesus mean to you and mean to me? You may feel at times in your life that there's a lot of darkness. You may feel at times in your life that life doesn't have a meaning, a lot of meaning or a lot of direction, and you wonder, what does God say to me? I'd like for you to consider for a time this morning, what does the power of the resurrection mean to you? What does it do for you? What does it make possible? As you look at your life, where you're at right now, some young, some old, some mostly good experiences, some a lot of difficult experiences, but what does the resurrection of Jesus mean to you? What does it mean to mankind? What does it mean to our world? I want to invite you this morning. I was going to read a larger text, but I think I'm going to go directly to verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to consider this verse and what Paul the Apostle writes there. Go to that next slide if you would, Nate. And I want you to consider this verse. It's one verse. I'm going to ask you to stand. You think, well, I know you've been up and down a lot, but it is just one verse this morning. But I would like you, if you would be willing to today, for the next 15 minutes or so, to interact with this verse and consider with me the power of the resurrection. I'll tell you right now how many sermons or how many points my sermon has, and it can change as I go, as you probably know. I have 14 things I want to say about the power of the resurrection today. Some of them like jump out at me, and all week long they've been on my heart and mind, and others are little things that kind of been brewing inside of me. But you know, some people, you know, when you can see how many points are, you know how long it's going to take. You know what I mean? I understand that. But I want you to know this morning that there's 14 things that I want to say to you, Lord willing, about the power of the resurrection. Listen now to verse 10 and this great text. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in the suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I want you to consider this morning for a while that first two phrases. There are 10 words. I want to know Christ, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to say to you that there's great power in the resurrection of Jesus and in believing in him and seeing that God is real and alive, and the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago has something to say to your life and my life today. There are 14 things that I want to share with you that I feel and I sense as I think about the power of the resurrection this morning, and I want to invite you to consider. Thank you. You may be seated. These two phrases in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 10 to me, summarize the heart of the Apostle Paul. There are a lot of things that Paul wrote about. He wrote a lot of books in the New Testament, and he was this kind of amazing missionary, and And he kind of gave a lot of theology about the church and to the church and a lot of neat things to think about. But I want you to consider the practicalness, the practical words that he says here of two things that captures Paul's heart and attention. Number one, he says here and he says other places, I want to know Christ. Paul understood that if he could understand who Jesus was, if he could really get the right way of thinking about Jesus, that it would change his life. He wanted to know Christ. He wanted to know not just the facts about his life and memorize the parables that Jesus told, but Paul had this understanding and vision that if he was really going to get it right, he would have to go deeper than the surface things about knowing about Jesus. He knew that he would need to go deep into understanding who Jesus was, and learn about it and think about it and hold on to it. I want to say today, if you want your life to matter, if you want to be fulfilled in your life, if you want to know God's will for your life, you have to have a heart that says, I want to know who Jesus is. Because if you go through the motions of the Christian religion and you come to church or you read your Bible once in a while and you don't have a heart that says, I really want to know who Jesus is, then you will miss it all. Paul had this picture and this vision that he wanted to know who Christ was. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to suggest to you this morning that that's one of the most important questions or one important matter that you can have is to want to really know who Jesus is, because Jesus is the most important person in all of world history. What Jesus did, what was wrote about him before he came, and what he did when he was here, and what was written about him after, and 2,000 years of amazing world history, all points that Jesus Christ is the most amazing person in all of history. I know you've heard his name 10,000 times. Sometimes after 14,000 times or 6,000 times, you might think, well, have I heard all that before? But I want you to know, knowing Christ means going into things that are real and deep in your soul and who you are spiritually before God. I want to invite you to be on a journey to know who Christ is, to seek him. I want to know Christ, Paul says, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. Paul didn't just say, I want to believe that he rose from the dead. I mean, you choose whether you believe that or not. That's a faith question. Do you believe that Jesus did what he said he would do? Do you believe that he was risen from the dead? That's the question that we all have to answer by faith. And you can't force anybody to believe that or not to believe that. But God invites you to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He invites you to know the power of the resurrection, to know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection, to truly know Jesus in a way that you want to listen to him, you want to follow him, you want to identify with him. The Apostle Paul wanted to know Christ in a way that drew him and drew everything in his life to understand that there's an amazing, loving God who's reaching out to him, to think, to feel, to love like Jesus did. The invitation to be a Christian is to follow Jesus. It's the invitation to put him in this place in your life that says, everything I do, everything I believe, every choice I make will be rooted in understanding who Jesus is and what he says in my life. So the question is, what is powerful about the resurrection? Why is the resurrection important to you today? Why is it important for the church? Why is it that Easter is this big holiday for the Christian church? However, it's obviously become a big holiday in other ways, but why is Easter important for the believer? 14 things I'm going to say about that. Number one is Christ's resurrection is the victory over evil and Satan. The resurrection of Jesus brought victory over Satan. Now, I know that the final score has not been written, and we live in the day of the conflict in the church, in the days of the church, in the days of the Holy Spirit, in the days that God is bringing to the end human history. We live in a day late in human history. We live in a day that the victory's already been attained over evil and Satan. But we live in that day where the conflict is still going on and coming to an end, and Satan is doing everything that he can to destroy every human soul while he can. You remember, he's the liar. He is the liar. In another place, he's the one that has come to steal and to destroy life. But Jesus' resurrection from the dead is the beginning of that victory over Satan and over evil. Also, Christ's resurrection is the victory over sin. Jesus went to the cross to bear our sins. The Bible says it in hundreds of ways. Why did Jesus go to the cross? What was the purpose? Why did he allow himself to go to the cross? We know why, because he was the one who took on all of the sins of mankind. That is so hard to wrap around and to understand, but somehow God laid on Jesus, the book of Isaiah says, the iniquity of us all. Somehow, on the cross, Jesus took what we were supposed to have in punishment. And he bore them without having any sin. You see, if it had been somebody else who had sinned most of his life, and he couldn't die for our sins, but only the perfect one, the Lamb, as the Old Testament talks about, the sinless one. And so when Jesus went to the cross, he took those sins on us, and when he rose from the dead, he rose victorious over those sins. We don't have to live in sin anymore. Another part of this is victory over sin on the cross, but it's also victory over sin in our lives. God has the power to take out of your life a sinful nature. God has the power to take out of your life that draw to sin and that selfish spirit that draws you away from the heart of God. The cross allows you to have a Christ spirit instead of a self spirit. God can help you with sin in your life through the cross and the resurrection. When you believe and you embrace Jesus, he can cleanse you on the inside and he can take the sin away. He can take away that part of you that constantly is pulled toward doing what you know God doesn't want for your life. Christ's resurrection is the victory over sin. God has the power to take sin and to change us. Another way to say it is Jesus' resurrection is a pathway to newness, a pathway to change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. See, Jesus raising from the dead is a pathway of possibility for you to be out of a life of sin, out of a life of selfishness, out of a life of misery. The resurrection of Jesus makes it possible that you can follow a path to new life. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so the resurrection of Jesus makes that possible. If you wondered in your life, how do I change? How do I change that stuff inside of me that I know it's ugly and I know it's not good, and whatever word you want to put it, the Bible calls it many different things. That carnal spirit, that self spirit, that spirit that's a part of your nature, whatever you call it, whatever word you describe it, it's that part of you that you know does not please God. What do you do with it? How do you get rid of it? How do you change? What's believing in Jesus and his resurrection that allows God's Spirit to come through and cleanse your heart and your life. Another way to say it, it's a pathway to new life. It's a pathway to cleansing. The resurrection of Jesus. Christ's resurrection is powerful. He has the power to change the human heart, and nothing else can. Only God has the power to change your heart. You may be able to change your behavior. You can stop doing certain things or start doing certain things, but only God has the power to change you on the inside in your heart. That's the invitation that God gives to us. Another scripture says, not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, says the Lord God. Christ's resurrection is also victory over death. It loses its sting. It loses its power. It loses its finality. You know, before Jesus arose from the dead, every tomb, every cemetery, every person that died, there was no hope for anything beyond the last breath. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he attained victory over something, the finality of death. There is something more, and Jesus proved that. Jesus made it possible when he rose from the dead. When Jesus took his breath and whatever happened in that tomb happened and he came forth, he said, death no longer will have dominion over you. He rose to new life and he conquered the finality of death. Another way to say it is it's the beginning of eternity, not the end of life. Death is a consequence of sin, and every person will pass those waters and pass through it. But because Jesus rose from the dead, it made it that it's the beginning of eternity. And we are in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we take our last breath according to the Word of God and what God says in the Bible. When we take our last breath on this earth, we enter into eternity forever and ever and ever. And it's so impossible for us to understand that and comprehend what eternity is. But God, the Creator, who always was and always will be, He's eternal. Somehow He draws us finite beings that He created into this eternity through the resurrection of Jesus. And so He's the one that makes it so that we will live forever and ever and ever. I love this illustration. I've repeated it here, and many of you have heard it, but I will at least one more time. Our speaker that was here a couple years ago had that long cord, and on the one end of the cord, he had a little piece of red tape, and he said, "This is life here." And sometimes it seems so long, and sometimes it doesn't seem long, but he talked about that's life. And then he started pulling this rope or this cord, and he went on and on. I don't know how many feet he had of it, 100 feet or whatever. You have life. Then you have eternity. The resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of eternity. It's the beginning of understanding that there is something beyond the grave. There is something that we can know is real beyond our last breath, and we can hold on to it by faith. Until the resurrection, there was no proof of eternal life. I want to know Christ, Paul said, and the power of His resurrection. I want you to know that the beginning of eternity is one of the things that we can know when we know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We can know that there is eternal life. We can know that God has planned something beyond the grave. We can remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. It says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." The resurrection. I mean, He said that before He died. He said that on Maundy, Thursday. He said that 3 days before He arose. He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come back and receive you to myself." Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection." You and I have the privilege today, even for this time together, to believe, to choose to believe who Jesus is, the power of the resurrection. We also have the privilege to believe and to step into eternity with faith and confidence and comfort and hope. And when that day comes in our lives, when we face that time, maybe we'll know ahead and maybe not. Some will and some won't. But if you come to that time and you see life coming to an end, we can know what happens beyond the grave. We can know that there's a God in heaven that's planned all of eternity. Those of you that have a loved one that are close to eternity, those of us that have parents or people in our lives that we love so much, and we know they're getting closer to eternity, We can approach that day with grief, but we also approach that day with a strong assurance that it's the beginning of eternity for that person, and we can give thanks for that and hold on to that. One translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "If it were not for the resurrection of Christ, we would be men most miserable." It's one of the translations. You know, if it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ, we wouldn't really have a lot to look forward to. But we can approach eternity with great anticipation. And I hope the Easter reminder will be close to you this year ahead. Some of you will lose someone who will pass into eternity that you love very much. Remember that the resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of eternity. And we can celebrate that and be thankful for that. The resurrection of Jesus is victory also over the punishment for sin. You understand that Jesus was punished for our sins. He didn't just kind of become aware of them. It wasn't like Jesus, you know, kind of individually, okay, there's Wayne Crell in the 21st century, and there's Bob Miller, and there's Dory, and there's Dave, and there's Mike, and you know, it's not like all of a sudden He just kind of became aware of our sin, but it says that He was punished for our sins. Punished. I mean, He had them on Him for those 40 hours. Whatever that was, He was punished for our sins. He paid the price, and He overcame our punishment. Because he paid the price and he bore them, he overcame our punishment. So when you think about the resurrection, I want you to think about that he overcame what you would have to bear. The resurrection of Jesus overcame our separation from God. You think of what sin does to our relationship with God. The resurrection of Jesus overcomes that separation from God. God has been working to bring us back. God has been reaching out since the beginning of Adam's generation to bring us back. He's been working in history. I've tried very hard in preaching through the Old Testament to think about and help us to think about the plan that God has through all the stories of the Old Testament, through Noah and through Abraham and through all the history that we've looked at, been looking at in the Old Testament over the last few years, to see that it is all a part of God's plan to bring us back to Him. And when Jesus arose from the dead, it's like God brought us together. He met the need. He provided through the resurrection of Jesus the possibility that we could be connected with an amazing God, with a loving God who is reaching out to us. God has been working to bring us back. On the cross, Jesus bore the sins that separated us from God. Jesus said it like this, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When you think about the seven things Jesus said from the cross, this is one that I think of especially with this idea of the power of the resurrection. You know, one of the things Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross and it got very dark, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He's praying to the Father. He never, ever, ever in the history of eternity past had ever been separated from the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, except during those hours that he died on the cross for our sins and he was in the grave for 40 hours, he was alone. He suffered hell, separation from the Father. There he was. My God, why have you forsaken me? Somehow Jesus entered into our hell so that we don't have to. Sometimes you think life is tough. Let me tell you, eternity without God, I can't imagine. That's just beyond. So we celebrate today that the resurrection of Jesus gives us the connection with God again, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I hope that you will know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is also proof that Jesus was who he said he was. It was the fulfillment of so many claims that he made about himself, and he began to share about himself. In our Good Friday service, someone mentioned from Matthew's reading in Matthew's gospel how Jesus had talked about three times in the earlier chapters of Matthew. Had said, I'm going to die, and when he says, I'm going to be back in 3 days, And you know, he said that many, many times to his disciples. And you know, they had to wonder, what do you mean you're going to die? You're not going to die. You're powerful. You have worked miracles. You could do anything you want. And what do you mean you're not going to die? Yet he kept saying, no, I have to die. I'm going to die. I have to die. You realize that Jesus died because he was willing to. And when he rose from the dead, he was proof. That is who he said he is. He's proof of the words that said, I am the resurrection and the life, when he spoke that in the days of Lazarus' death. He proved it was true when he said, I will rise again in 3 days. There are 44 roughly direct prophecies that Jesus fulfills in his life and death and resurrection. All 44 of them, and others too that are indirect, are proof of the power of the resurrection. Sometime if you want to read the 44 and read what it says, and then read who Jesus is, and it'll, if you've never seen that and you're open to it, it will cause you to go, wow, I never knew that. Jesus claimed things about himself that were fulfilled when he rose from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is a fountain of joy for those who believe and trust in him. The resurrection of Christ gives us joy that's unbelievable and amazing. It's a fountain. You know, this is one of those intangible things that I can try to describe to you. It's hard to, you know, to really put it into words, but this is so true to me, is my faith in Jesus and who He is and what He did when He rose from the dead gives me such joy in my life. It gives me a sense of who I am and what I am and where I am. It gives me identity. And it's a fountain of joy. He is a fountain of lasting joy. He is the real joy giver. When you know the power of the resurrection of Jesus, you will have joy in your life. We'll also have peace, deep peace. Peace that goes into the deepest parts of our soul. I mean peace that helps us when we go through very troubled times in our lives. If you know the power of the resurrection, when you go through a hard time in your life, it doesn't make it easy. But it helps you to know that you're not alone and that the eternal, infinite Father is with you, walking with you, talking with you, guiding you, helping you, and you'll never be alone. When you know Jesus in your life, you will not feel alone. Some of you feel very alone, and it may well be that you've not accepted and believed and embraced who Jesus is. And if you would do that, you would sense something in your life that you've never sensed otherwise. A deep, settled peace in your heart. You may embrace also, when I think about what Jesus does for me, His peace is amazing. Another thing that the resurrection of Jesus will do for you is it will help heaven to be real. It will help your view of heaven, your view of what God has in the future to be real. You probably have a lot of questions, far more questions than answers about what heaven is and what it isn't. But I want you to know that when you have faith in Jesus and you understand the resurrection, you understand that idea that He came back from the dead, and that makes life possible again. When you have that in your heart, it will help you to understand heaven. You will embrace the promise of eternal life. You will really believe it, and it'll help you. And it'll help you when you grieve. And it'll help you when you see people that are hurting and people that are sick and people that have diseases and cancers and other things that we don't know what to say and do about sometimes. But it will help you. It doesn't take away the pain, but it will help you to see eternity different because Jesus rose from the dead. The promise of eternal life, heaven will seem more real. You will also understand the core of truth about Jesus that you need in your heart in order to be reconciled to God. When you understand the resurrection of Jesus, you understand what God wants you to hold on to and embrace and feel in your heart and your life. The last two that I want to mention this morning, and there's so many others that I could, but the word core is on my mind this morning. If you really understand the resurrection of Jesus, then you understand the core of something. You understand why and who God is. I mean, I don't know of any story in the Bible that is more descriptive of God as far as an event than the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, it is power for the past, for today, and for the future. It's amazing. You must believe it. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. I invite you to consider the power of who Jesus is when He rose from the dead. The last thing that I want to mention, number 14, if you would, is the power of resurrection will be a source of a living, ongoing, growing relationship with God. If you understand the resurrection, it's not about religion. It's not about formality. It's not about tradition. It's not about because your parents were Christians. It's not because somebody in your life was a Christian. When you understand the power of the resurrection, you understand that God wants a growing relationship with you. He doesn't just come into your heart and then go sit down and say, okay, live the rest of your life. that the power of the resurrection mean that there's a living God who wants to deal in your heart day by day and hour by hour, moment by moment. He wants to rule in you. He wants to guide you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be close to you. I want to invite you today in closing to think about that kind of a God. That's what the resurrection is to me. It's that God's real. God's alive. I can talk to Him. I can tell Him what I'm feeling. I can ask Him for His help. I can say, God, would you give me guidance in this? I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know what it means in my heart and my life. I invite you today as we close this Easter Sunday that you would choose to want to know Jesus and to know the power of His resurrection. Would you stand with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the power of the resurrection. Lord, we try to understand its meaning and the depth of what You did when You rose from the dead, and some of it is supernatural power, and much of it is application to our lives and what we believe and why and where do we get our help from. Lord God, I pray that we would choose to call out to God for Your help and Your Spirit and Your deliverance, and God, that we would look to You for our worldview. Lord God, that we would know that the resurrection of Jesus is one of the most confirmed testimonial facts in the history of the world, but yet we have to make a choice to believe. We cannot rely on the faith of someone else, but God, we must call out to You and say, yes, I believe. I believe who Jesus is. I believe that He died for my sins. I believe that I'm a sinner, and I ask You to come into my heart and to forgive me. God, I pray that we would have that kind of faith and that kind of confession and that kind of a choice to believe in You. Thank You for the resurrection. Thank You for the cross. God, keep us near the cross. Keep us near to You, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.